All right, how's everybody doing? Welcome to Monday. It is Monday here in the beautiful city of Chicago, June 29th. This episode 62. Episode 62 of Chicago Music Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com, and also the Director of Entertainment and Programming at the Epiphany Center for the Arts. And thanks to Craig Pilo for that incredible theme song, as I always thank him, CraigPilo.com, for all your musical needs. He's out of L.A. out there. He's a good guy, and we'll probably have him on the show in the next couple of weeks. He and I have been texting back and forth on the weekend, and we were both out working out. So hopefully everybody got out and enjoyed the beautiful weather. I love the heat, so bring it on. I was very happy over the weekend. I'm sure a lot of people were not, but it was gorgeous. I did socially distant from everybody, by the way. Actually, I got out on the lakefront path and had my mask, luckily, because there was a lot of people out there. So I had to ride with the lake on the lakefront with the mask on. So, Mayor, we're all good. Everybody's okay. But it was a smart thing. It was a beautiful day. So hopefully everybody's getting it out, enjoying the weather. We are keeping it good in Chicago. Before I bring on my first guest, well, my only guest today, what am I saying? My first guest, Chris Green. I wanted to mention, congratulations to Dave Gemmelo at the Green Mill, and congratulations to Chris and Jeff and the whole gang over at Andy's Jazz Club. They got music started again here in Chicago this weekend. Green Mill, Dave Gemmelo kicked it off on Friday. Andy's kicked it off on Friday as well. Dave's going to do seven nights a week again, two shows a night, and everybody is socially distanced in Green Mill, which is great. So you get to go in there, you get to check it out. There's a lot of great music happening. He was the first, boom, he knew he could go, and he went and opened it up, but everything's been safe. Howard Reich had a great article today. Thank you, Howard, for writing that in the Tribune. So he featured Andy's and the Green Mill. So check that out if you didn't read about it. Some great quotes from both of the establishments. And of course, Andy's is kicking it off, and they're doing Wednesday through Sunday at Andy's, and they also serve food, so you can get some food. I think they had some good crowds this weekend. They're obviously limited capacity-wise, but you got to start somewhere. You got to get the ball rolling, and those were the first two in the city to present live jazz, so congratulations to them, and stay up to date with all of that at ChicagoJazz.com, ChicagoJazzMagazine.com, and of course, Chicago Music Revealed. Now, without further ado, I want to bring on my guest here, Chris Green. How are you, sir? Great to see you.
Good to see you, sir. Good to virtually see you.
That's right. Well, hey, we got to take what we can get these days, right? But I mean, you know, before we get into the conversation with you, and you've got some stuff coming up with your group. You've got a new release that you put out a while ago, but it's up, and you've got a cool membership package that we're going to talk about. But before we do that, you've played at both of those spots. You've played at Green Mill, you've played at Andy's. I mean, yes. How important is it to get the ball rolling again on the live music front? I mean, you as a musician who's used to working like six, seven nights a week sometimes, it's got to feel good to at least be able to have that opportunity to hear people are actually starting to open up venues again.
I'm glad, and I'm glad at least Chicago or in Illinois, at least we seem to be somewhat smart about our, you know, reopening everything. And so I'm happy that they're doing what they can to keep the musicians safe, the audience safe, you know, and still present the quality music that they're known for. So I'm glad to see it's opening, but I'm also glad to see that everybody's kind of taking the current environment seriously and, you know, looking out for everybody, making sure that although we're living in strange times, people are still wanting to take precautions, the necessary precautions to make sure everybody is safe.
Well, that's the only, you know, and it's funny. It's not funny. It's interesting that when all of this stuff went down and everybody got quarantined, everybody had to stay home. You know, there was a lot of people complaining. Oh, my gosh, we got to wear a mask. We're stuck inside. We got all this business going on, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Thank God we did that because we flattened the curve and we're driving it down, as opposed to some of the other states that opened a little bit too early, and now they're in some serious trouble, and they're
exactly
set way back. And we exactly in Chicago don't want to be set way back. We've already lost an entire summer of festivals.
Yep.
And, you know, if we don't get these clubs back open soon, we're going to be losing more and more music, and it's important. This is not a joke. So I'm glad everybody's taking this seriously. But again, I was really impressed with some of the guidelines that the Green Mill has and the Andy's Jazz Club has. And I know you and I talked a little bit. You guys are going to be playing at the Epiphany Center for the Arts in the fall. And when we open that up in September, we've got a lot of guidelines and safety procedures. It's the only way to move forward here until there's a vaccine. And it's going to be a while before that happens. So we got to get live music happening again, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as musicians, we're the mixed blessing, of course, is that, you know, with the downtime, I'm able to like work all the stuff that, you know, pile of in my office, like, you know, songs I need to learn or various, you know, compositions in various states of completion or whatever, or stuff that I'm working, like etude books or whatever. So it's like, okay, the blessing is that I had all this time to, you know, work it out and practice all this stuff. Now it's time. Now it's like, okay, it's time to put this stuff put it in play and, you know, get out and play and try to carve out some semblance of a living and that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm glad that things are slowly starting to open up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and you and I talked offline a little bit, and, you know, it's also one of those things too. We had that little downtime. Well, we still have a downtime. There's only a couple of clubs open. It's not like we're flush with a lot of wild gigs happening, but, you know, we had that little downtime, and I think a lot of musicians took advantage of the fact that they can learn how to work through the technology field here and figure out different ways to connect with their audiences from a live music standpoint online. With all these resources we've had, and to your point, it's really difficult when you don't have any time because you're running from one gig to another, to a teaching gig, to this, to that, to playing. Right. You've taken the advantage of that side of it too, because you're starting to connect with people virtually. You've got your recording that came out just before the pandemic called Play Space. So we'll talk about that. But then you also established a membership program on your website. Now, how many musicians have membership programs as part of their website? But I love it. So let's talk a little bit first off about the membership program, and then we'll circle back and talk about Play Space.
Okay. Well, there's the main big agenda, and then there's the little tiny agenda. The little tiny agenda is I'm kind of as useful as a tool as Facebook has been, kind of weighing my options of whether, I mean, it's definitely important. It's you know, the biggest, you know, whatever, one of the biggest social platforms out there.
Right.
But it's got some weird stuff with ads and everything else, and, you know, the current political climate isn't really helping. So part of me wants to like move, you know, try at least move some of the attention away to, you know, a platform where I can control. And also just, what you just said, like we're certainly in a situation where a lot of musicians, and I guess it's always been like this anyway, like when this pandemic wasn't happening, you know, any night of the week, you could go to this place, you could go to that place, you could go whatever. It's almost kind of the same thing, whereas like you've got various great musicians at any given time giving live stream concerts at their church or in their basement or whatever. And so I applaud. I think that's all really cool. What I'm just trying to do is with this membership thing is just kind of like, okay, let me give the people who really want to follow what the quartet does, like, you know, here's some exclusive footage there's some concert footage that I haven't, that I never bothered to upload to Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Or here's a soundboard recording that we got that we were probably going to use for a demo or something, but, you know, it actually sounds pretty good. Maybe with a little sprucing here, you know, you can have it for free, or you can, if you want to, well, the cool thing is, like, if you pay the $9.99 membership fee, you get basically our whole catalog. You know, you can download it at any time. There's little freebies here and there, and then we might just offer up a few more freebies there, or like some interview clips or whatever that we haven't published or anything. We're just trying to like really, really reward the people that have really stuck, you know, followed us and stuck in there and been following us and supporting us all these years.
Well, and I love the membership thing, because, you know, when you get down into it, I mean, when you really look at it, how many memberships are we subscribed to when you look at it? I mean, you got apps, you've got all these different things that you're subscribed to, $3 here, $15 there, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, for an artist to be able to do this, first of all, so they actually have access to your whole catalog, so they're going to be able to check out your whole catalog.
Yep. So all of our CDs, all of our recorded output that we've officially put out.
Yeah.
And then we've also there's a series of recordings that we've done that we've kind of called Playtime, which have basically been like soundboard recordings or something like that that we didn't necessarily meet the quality to put out like. You know, to sell, but you know, hey, you know, again, kind of a thank you to, you know, here's something free or whatever. So we've done that as well. So we've kind of, those are originally available at our Bandcamp page, but we've kind of moved that under. So if you want to hear them, if you pay the $9.99 per month, you can hear those and download those anytime you want.
So how many releases do you have?
Totally, nine CD releases. Seven with the quartet and then two with an earlier band that I had. But yeah, like I said, you pretty much get all nine recordings, you know, right, you know, either at the Bandcamp website or actually on the Bandcamp app as well. So,
well, you know, I love marketing and I love messaging and all that. I mean, they're essentially getting like $200 worth of value for the $9.99 right off the bat. Right.
Exactly.
I mean, with all of that stuff, I mean, give me a break. That's like a no brainer right there. I mean, that's great. But I love the fact that you're going to be able to grow this because you guys in normal times, you guys are working all the time. So there's going to be little snippets. You're probably going to drop a tune here, drop a tune there that nobody else can get unless they're a member. Probably when you can get back in the clubs, there's going to be little, you know, discounts on tickets and all that good stuff that you're going to be able to offer to your members, which I love because that it just helps everybody, you know?
Exactly. And I try to think of like the artists that I liked growing up, if, you know, or whether they were alive or had passed away before I like discovered them or started listening to them, like how awesome would it have been if, you know, Miles Davis had a fan club or something, maybe he did, but if there was some kind of like thing that some kind of really cool extra stuff that you would get if, you know, just by being in that little thing, you know, or just by, you know, and this is not to say that you know, I want as many people to follow us as possible, but you know, there's something for the casual listener who comes to see you once a year, but then there's something for the people who really, really follow you or really, really interested in new content. Like, hey, like I said, here's some live footage. Or here's a funny moment from a concert that I've never posted anywhere. Or here's me playing in, I don't know, in taking a solo in high school or whatever. Look how far I've come.
Yeah, right.
Isn't this funny? You know, look at my hair. Isn't that hilarious? You know. So.
Well, I think I love the fact too that you're kind of bringing it inside. So I mean, you're still going to be on the social platforms. But you're also getting control over your brand because if something happens and if Facebook decides they want to block everybody that has music on their website or something, everybody is stuck. I mean, it's
there.
Gone,
you go.
Right.
Exactly. So, I mean, and I've heard of instances where musicians have posted their own music on a social platform, like underneath something that they're doing, some kind of funny clip or whatever.
Yep.
And they've gotten in trouble with the social platform. For posting their own music. Like, do you own the copyright of this music? It's like, yes, it's my song. Now, it hasn't happened to me, but I've heard of my fellow peers.
Oh yeah.
Same kind of issue. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right, well, if that's going to happen, you know, let's move this over here where, like you said, I've got a little more control over the content and how it's received and how it's presented.
Yeah, no, I love it. So everybody go over to chrisgreenquartet.com. Check out the VIP experience. Actually, that's on chrisgreenquartet.com. Oh, that's what I said.
Yes.
chrisgreenjazz.com, chrisgreenquartet.com. Either way, if you go to chrisgreenjazz.com, you'll find it. You'll get over to it. So
you'll
now
get,
let's talk about PlaySpace, though, this new recording that you put out. Now, you and I were talking. Did you come down to Epiphany and did we talk about this show? Is that why when you came down and then you guys recorded at Space? Because that was like back in the winter time, right?
Or no, we played that show. Actually, that was March 1st, as a matter of fact. That was actually one of our last gigs before the shutdown. But it was a great show. It's always great to play there. The concert that ended up being on PlaySpace was recorded 2 years ago, but we dropped it last year.
Okay.
And it was really just usually most of our releases are kind of like we have these kind of long range goals, like we'll release it, we'll get the, you know, get the resources together to promote, blah blah blah, get the, you know, get the radio thing happening, everything else. It was like they're really concerted, coordinated efforts. This was just kind of like, you know, we Space has the option, if you play there, you get for like a small little fee, you can get they can get multi-track recordings there. And so, you know, if you go in there with your, you know, portable hard drive, you can just have the tracks loaded on your thing and walk out. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, if it ended up being a great show, but I was like, okay, you know, I'm sure I was moving around or whatever, or who knows, maybe I bumped into the mic or whatever. So you never know how it's going to come out technically.
Right.
So I listened to them and I was like, you know, before I really took a listen, I was like, okay, maybe they'll just be demos, or maybe I'll make this another one of the free giveaways on the website or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it ended up sounding really, really good. It dawned on me that we, as a group, we really hadn't had a live documentation of the band since 2012. So this is like,
yeah,
you know, so this was like what, 8 years of gigs and growth and individual improvement, but our improvement as a band, playing together night after night after night. And so it just kind of dawned on me, like, we really don't have any documentation of the band as how it sounds now. And so I kind of listened to those tracks and I'm like, okay, we just kind of, And I kind of put it to the band, like, you know, okay, these are the songs that we did that night, which sound the best. And so we kind of talked it through, and I like that one, I didn't like that one, I like that one. So we kind of whittled it down to the songs that were on there, mixed it up, and put it out. Just kind of like no frills surprise release, like, hey folks, we've got a new album out. And it ended up doing pretty well and getting some good notice. And it's been nice, because then people who hadn't heard of us heard the album and were like, wow, that's what those guys sound like, man, I gotta go check them out. So it was really cool. It's been a really cool thing.
I mean studio recordings are great, but I love the live recording, because, and especially with your group now, I know we talk about this every time I have you on the show, but I mean, it's still astonishing to me that you have your group together. For how many years have you guys been together now?
The group has been together since 2005. So, wow, 15 years.
15
and the
years.
Only, like I said, the only personnel change we've made is we got our drummer, Steve Corley. He joined us in 2011. And so he's been with us 9 years now. So,
I mean, to keep, and we always talk about this, but I love talking about it, because I think that there's a lot of people watching this that maybe haven't seen some of the other interviews we've done. But to be able to keep a jazz group together, you know, you can put rock bands together and people play for 15 years because it's a rock band. They have their original tunes and they're playing their tunes, and they don't have a lot of other outlets to go and play like one-off gigs in a rock scene. I mean, necessarily, right. unless you're like in the scene where you're sitting in with a lot of people. With jazz, everybody's always mishmashing and jumping from one group to another, or playing a gig or playing this gig or that gig or whatever. But you guys have original tunes. You guys have been playing together for 15 years plus. Mm-hmm. I mean, and jazz is one of those genres that it's like, the longer a group stays together, the better it's going to get, because everybody's interaction is going to be playing off of each other for 15 years as opposed to 15 minutes. So, you know, what are some of the struggles? I mean, some of the things that you've gone through to keep a band together for 15 years, it must be important to constantly try to keep playing gigs, right? To keep everybody engaged in the band, I would imagine.
Absolutely. It in a weird way, it probably started out a little difficult, because, you know, any project you get off the ground, you know, people have got to take gigs or whatever. People have, you know, if you've got something, but then somebody comes with something that pays more or whatever, they've got to take it or whatever. So, but for the most, you know, the guys know that for the most part, like, you know, the guys know that when I get a gig, I'm going to call them. They know that they're my first call guys. And so as a result, there's very little in the way of subbing out. Like, maybe once in a blue moon, something will happen, or there'll be a family emergency or something like that. That'll happen. And then we've got a nice crew of people that we work with, but The guys know that I'm gonna bust my tail to keep them working and put them in situations where hopefully they feel that their talents are respected. Hopefully they'll be, no one's getting rich off of what we're doing, but it's at the same time, it's consistent. It's fun. We all like each other we respect each other's musicianship, but we respect each other as people. So I think, that perpetual motion of work and camaraderie helps. Plus, I encourage everybody to write for the band. So like I write stuff, or I'll bring in stuff. They'll bring in music, they'll write stuff. And what ends up happening is in rehearsals, I'll bring in a tune, but I can't figure out how to end it. And so our bass player Mark is really good at like figuring out how to end songs and, keeping them interesting and creative, or this is the chords I had in mind, Damien. How would you play this? And Damien, our piano player, will fool around with it, maybe make some changes. Or, I'll sing a drum beat to Steve, our drummer, and this is what I had this scenario in mind, or I had this kind of beat in mind. What would you do with that situation? How would you make that interesting, that keep that same feel, but make it interesting over the course of, 7 to 10 minutes? And so in addition to feeling hopefully personally and musically respected, they're also allowed to put their imprint on the music as well. So it's not just me up there. It's the four of us. And in a lot of ways, it's as much their band as it is mine.
Well, and that's, I think the one of the biggest factors too, right? Cause it's called the Chris Green Quartet, but you've always included them. You're not like the dictator here showing up and saying, this is the way it's going down. And that, to your point, that's probably one of the major reasons they feel like it's a band. It's not like they're backing Chris Green up. It's a band. It just happens to be called Chris Green Quartet because you've been around for so long, you can't change the name. It's like,
right, exactly. But, plus, I booked the gig, so I get the name of the band. So I think that's only fair. If I book the gigs, I get to name the band. If you think about it, like the people that we idolize, like Monk had a band. Yep. Thelonious Monk had steady bands. Duke Ellington had a steady band. Coltrane had a steady band. Yep. Ella Fitzgerald had her long standing partnership with like Joe Pass and all these people that she worked with. There's just, there's precedent in long standing ensembles. Unfortunately, we live in a situation where everybody's got to take the work that they can, which is certainly completely understandable. But the guys know that I'm busting my tail for them, and because they know that, they're willing to leave me a certain amount of leeway in their schedules.
Yeah.
Or if someone comes with us, asks us for a date, and three of us can do it, but one can't, I'll just be like, let's see if we can get another date. Because it's important for me to put our best foot forward. Mm-hmm. And I could go in there with a sub and it would probably sound perfectly fine, but I would probably be just a little bit hesitant the whole gig, just like, which I try not to do. My guys tease me whenever I have a sub. I'm always like pointing stuff, like the drummer. I always hire great drummers, but I'm always like, you got that change and blah 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 and everything. And I'm always probably a little more worried than I need to be, as opposed to just worrying about it. But if I've got my three guys there, I'm not worried about it. So
yeah. Well, toot your own horn here, but I mean, it takes a lot to be a leader, to run a band like that, and to have the patience to be able to put something like that together. And to your credit, you're able to, work with a lot of people and make sure everybody feels included. And that is part of being a leader of a group, but also that's the reason why a band sticks around for 15 years and continues to have fun and play together, because it's a group effort, but you include them, you're including them in all of these decisions too. I know when we were talking about the Epiphany thing, you want to make sure everybody was cool before you could take the date, which is great. I mean, a lot of people don't do that. They take the date and then they see who can do it. And if they can't do it, well, then they'll get another sub. But I mean, that's probably a great reason why you guys have such camaraderie and you guys love playing. And then you guys have toured, you guys have done stuff throughout the country and driving around and doing little mini tours and things. I mean, that takes a lot out of a band, but you guys have a good time and you guys can continuously be creative and keep writing music and composing. I mean, is that like a mindset in your mind? Just it's like, you know what? I'm never going to get disgruntled. This is like what I want to do. So let's just make something happen. And over the years, it's just kind of turned into the Chris Green Quartet, where you guys are an established name in Chicago and in the Midwest.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. Like you could piss and moan about a couple of things, but as far as like, you know, but you're right. It's like, this is what it is. And this is what I enjoy doing. And, you know, I'm lucky enough to be work side man with like some great leaders and some great bands. I've been kind of looking at like the CGQ is kind of like my musical 401k. It's like I'm allocating my resources from other bands into this and making it work. And, you know, eventually the goal is to live off of that. But, you know, and some months and some parts of the year I do exclusively, and others I'm working with other people. But it's at the same time, and that's what everybody's really everybody's committed. And I'm very, very, very fortunate to have guys that are committed to what we do. And they know that I want to put the best foot forward, and I've never had any issues with like people being drunk on gigs or punctuality or any of that kind of thing. It's just like these guys have been consummate professionals and just great people to make music with. So, and I'm just really, really fortunate.
Well, and we should talk a little bit, because speaking of you guys playing, you guys just did something for WDCB 90.9 FM, our favorite jazz station here in Chicago.
Yes,
and
right.
You did a recording where you guys did a live performance at Water Street Studios. They recorded it, and you guys are going to be streaming it Friday, July 10th on your Facebook page, on the Chris Green Quartet Facebook page, I assume?
Yes. So we streamed it, or it was streamed from Water Street Studios. Basically, it was kind of a virtual concert. You bought tickets at Eventbrite, and then at the very last minute, right before the show, you got a secret link, and then you got to watch the show, and it was great, and it was a really, really good response. It sounded really good. It was kind of a sign of the times. It was like, you know, we were in this space that was supposed to hold 100 people, and the gig was originally canceled, but it got but Ken Scott, shout out to Ken Scott, had this great idea. Like, let's do the concert. Let's just record it and film it and then stream it. Let's stream it at a later date. And so it ended up looking good and sounding good. And so we got the footage from the audio company, and we're going to stream it from our platforms on Friday, July 10th.
Nice. So that's going to be, what time? Do you guys know what time you drop that?
7:30. 7:30 p.m.
All right. I have that information at chrisgreenjazz.com. So we'll send everybody over there as well. And then you also have one more, right? You're going to be doing the Montrose Saloon. Is that right?
Yes. So we're dipping our toes back to performing out in front of people.
Thank God.
Exactly. So you said, like I mentioned with the Andes and the Greenville, yep. This great place, Montrose Saloon, they've been around forever, but they've been under new management ownership for the past couple of years. Eric Chow, fantastic guy, loves music, loves musicians. It was always like a great little neighborhood hang. Wants to get his music going again. So we're playing there on a Sunday the 5th, I believe. Sunday the 5th.
And I was just looking it up because I didn't have the address, but it's 2933 West Montrose Avenue in Chicago.
Yep, exactly. No cover charge. Come on in.
You're playing outside on the patio, right?
Yep, outside on the patio. Bring your masks and your hand sanitizer and all that good stuff.
It's just exciting to hear there's some live music starting to happen again here in Chicago, isn't it? It's just like, man, oh man, I'm just And again, I mean, like I talked about at the beginning of the show, it's going to be a slow roll. Everybody's got to make sure everybody's socially distant and we don't have another outbreak here. But the fact that we've gotten over the hump a little bit and we're starting to do live music and you guys are going to be happening. What's the date again? Because I didn't write that down.
Sorry, about Sunday, July 5th.
July 5th. Oh, it's this it's this Sunday.
Yep, 6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9, all right. And all that information is going to be up on chrisgreenjazz.com as well.
Yep, yep.
Excellent. All right, well, Chris, as always, pleasure talking to you. Thanks for being on the show. I think this is your third show. This is the third interview.
I think so.
You did one at one at Johnny O's.
Yes, that's right. Yes, we did.
Then you did one at Epiphany, and now we're doing one virtually.
Exactly. Wow. I should say this, and if no one ever tells you, and this is from the heart, like, thank you seriously for all you do for, you know, promoting the scene and, you know, keeping our names out there and helping out the scene, helping out musicians. So thank you so much for doing this and all that you do. So thank you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much. And, you know, all of us have to stick together here and try to keep pushing things out. So I'm doing my small part and, you know, as much as I can do. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate all of the friendship over the years. And congratulations on the new release, Play Space. Congratulations on the VIP experience. I mean, it's a $200 value, folks. Head over there and get that right now. It's only $9.99 a month. You can't beat that.
Exactly.
It's at chrisgreenquartet.com. Hulu,
your monthly Hulu subscription costs more than that. Come on.
Exactly. I mean, give me a break. And check out the live stream on July 10th on Facebook, on Chris Green Jazz Facebook page, and of course WDCB's live stream. Well, WDCB already did the live stream, but then the Montrose Saloon this Sunday. See, you do have a lot of crap going on, man. Oh man, for the quarantine, you're busy already.
I'm trying, you know, got to keep it going. You know, that's the thing. Like now, the stuff starts to open up. People are starting to ask my guys, are they busy on certain days? Like, no, I got them. They're mine.
Well, good problem to have, right? Thank God. There you go. All right, hey Chris, I'm talking to you as usual, and we will catch up again.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thanks. All right, Chris Green, man. Let me move over here. That up. I knew I was going to do that off there. Here we go. Okay. So Chris Green, always a pleasure having him on. It's a pleasure talking to him. And I love the fact that he's got so much stuff happening. I mean, you know, it's always interesting talking to people these days because of the quarantine, because of COVID and everything else. But, you know, all of these musicians, regardless of the genre, because we do a lot of different genres in Chicago Music Revealed other than jazz. But because I own Chicago Jazz Magazine, we've got great relationships with all of the great jazz musicians in Chicago. And they've been navigating the live stream, navigating how to do things in a quarantine situation. But it is nice to actually be able to go to Andy's, go to Green Mill, go to the Montrose Saloon, and a few other spaces that are going to be opening up. Winter's Jazz Club, by the way, Scott just touched base with me today. They're going to be doing a live stream concert. I'm going to get more information. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the show, which is going to happen at 6 p.m. right here. Of course, an announcement on all of the different musicians that are happening this week. Visit ChicagoMusicRevealed.com. We've got all the information up there. And as I always say, right here on Chicago Music Reveal. I appreciate everyone watching, everyone listening. Check out the podcast as well. It's on all the podcast platforms. If you missed any of the shows, visit Chicago Music Reveal for past episodes. And again, tomorrow, 6 p.m., as I always say, tell your neighbors, call the family, call the grandkids. Chicago Music Revealed right here. Tomorrow's broadcast, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Look forward to seeing everyone then.